back the fuck up.
Release the hostage. It's over.
How'd you know we're gonna be here? Did you get an anonymous tip?
What?
Shit. What if it was the FBI? Because what you're doing right now, vigilantism, it's illegal. So it would be super smart for federal law enforcement to tip you off that this bank was about to be robbed. Of course, you couldn't know you were being set up. Otherwise, you wouldn't walk right into their trap, right?
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the TV Zone Podcast presents Watchmen TV series. I'm your host, Jay, and joining me once again is the lovely Zena. Zena, how you doing, ma'am?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And here we are back, continuing on talking about Watchmen. So far, we've had a lot of fun talking about the first two episodes and just trying to figure out this world and universe that has been presented to us and everything. So here we are to talk about episode 3, where we're introduced to a new character and everything. So getting right into talking about this episode, we're introduced to Agent Laurie Blake in a very unique and interesting way of how they introduce this character. We first see her, she's in a phone booth, and it kind of is a recurring thing throughout the whole episode, actually. But she's in this freaking phone booth where she's making a phone call to Dr. Manhattan, and everything. And I guess they have like these booths all over the world, I believe, because Dr. Manhattan is not around, and you can make these phone calls and leave him messages and everything. And she decides to basically try to tell him these jokes that are not really funny in a way.
Yeah, they're not.
But in a weird way, they connect to what we see in this episode. And so we get that, and then we see her, she pulls up in a cab and everything, which ironically the cab that she's riding in has the advertisement from the American Hero Story TV series within the show on it. And she gets out and she goes to this bank, and she basically is there to rob the bank in a way. It's like, what the hell is going on here? Why is she trying to rob this freaking bank? So while that's going on, we realize like there's a couple of dudes that's there that's a part of her crew and everything, and while they're there robbing the bank, we see where this guy who's known as, I think, Secret Shadow is his supposed to be his superhero name. He comes out looking like Batman in a way, and you know, he takes, you know, down the other guys before he's able to do anything to Lori. You know, she picks up one of the girls and uses her as a human shield, and we find out that this was all a setup by the FBI to get, you know, him, because they called, you know, they gave him a tip that this is what was going to be happening. And when he realizes, like, oh crap, everybody in this freaking bank is a doggone FBI agent, he takes off trying to run, and she just shoots the hell out of him in the back. And it's like, what the heck? And I thought it was funny too, like, I don't know if you caught this, like, the people that are outside behind the barricade for the most part were all black people. And they were all trying to figure out, like, he's a hero. Like, what are you doing?
I heard that.
Right? And everything. And she takes one of the other guy's handcuffs. And as she's walking away, he's like, hey, Blake, how did you know that his body armor was a bullet, you know, was protected against bullets? And she doesn't say anything, because I don't think she didn't really care.
She didn't want to shoot him.
Exactly. She didn't care. Like, she shot him in the back. It's almost like the whole Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. If he dies, he dies type of thing, or whatnot. And then she goes over and handcuffs him and walks away. But what do you think about like how they opened this episode and the introduction of Lori Blake?
I was, again, you know, I feel like I've been saying this every single episode, but as someone, you know, who's coming, you know, into the series completely blind, I did not watch the movie. I did not read any of the comics. So I wasn't too sure who she was at first. But even with that bank, with the bank scene, and it was just kind of like, okay, what does she have against these masks? You know, vigilantes, what is it about them? Because she seems angry about, yes. And then, you know, when someone did say like, well, how did, you know, with when she did shoot him, and obviously she knew that it was like he was wearing like a bulletproof kind of thing. How did you know that? So then obviously, you know, I'm like, okay, did she used to be one of them? What's her backstory? And I know that, you know, this is only an hour, so we probably don't even have, like, enough time or anything like that. But I did my own research and, you know, found out that she was pretty much one of them.
Yep.
You know, yeah. She was pushed into it by her mother.
Yep.
So
the original Silk Spectre.
Yeah. So it was just kind of like, oh, that's cool. But I wonder what happened. Like, clearly something terrible must have happened. Was it with her dad?
Yeah, well,
okay.
So I want you to watch the movie.
I know. The next time we talk, I will have watched the movie.
So, I mean, her dad does play a role into this, but it's not so much her dad. I think it's what happens in the movie for the most part, but there's like a good gap of, okay, after the movie, what really happened? Because we get like little nuggets of things, like Easter eggs of like, okay, there's something that went on, you know, even with what happens after the events of the movie, of why she's like this kind of jaded type of character.
In yeah, a way. Like she switched positions or sides or.
Yeah, to a degree.
Okay.
It's very interesting. And like I say, this, now I would say that this is all from the TV show of where she's an FBI agent and everything like that. Because when she was, you know, the original version of the character, that was never it. She's like she's a child prodigy because like she's the only, from my understanding, she's the only, you know, child vigilante. Like their parent was a vigilante. She's the only child of a vigilante who becomes a vigilante in a way.
Okay.
So yeah, so she's like the only one, and plus they was in the public eye, so she was pretty much raised in the public eye in a way type of thing. So it's like that whole child star type of thing that she has going.
Okay.
But she is one of the more interesting characters of the series in general. We're talking movie and with the TV series. She's very interesting character. So, yeah, like I say, we're introduced to her, and now this was very interesting, too, where she goes to her, you know, apartment and everything, and she has this aisle, which is very much, it's kind of interesting in a way. I know I said that about 20 times in 2 minutes. Interesting. But
it is.
Yeah. So she has this aisle, which plays a role because if you did some of the research, you probably saw where she was involved with a guy named Dan Durberg,
mm-hmm.
who was Night Owl 2, and they had a relationship or whatnot because he always had a crush on her, but she was with Dr. Manhattan.
Okay.
And then they eventually get together themselves, and while she's there in her place and everything, you see her feed the owl. But of course, we don't know it's an owl at first,
because mm-hmm.
It's under the little curtain and everything. And then there's a knock at her door, and it's good old Senator Joe Keen Jr.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the hell is he doing here? Right? And he comes in, and, you know, he kind of tells her about what's going on in Tulsa, and like he wants her to come and investigate what's happened with Crawford. Mainly because of her history.
Okay.
Really, more than anything. And so they, you know, talking and everything. And it's funny, like, when he kind of gives his, you know, speech, I call it a politician's speech, you know, in regards to, like, you know, everything that's been going on with the police since they've been wearing the mask, you know, the crime rate has gone down drastically and everything, but this whole 7th Cavalry thing, you know, it's become like a nuisance in a way, because they've been dormant for a number of years, and now it seems like someone is trying to make the death of Crawford look like a 7th Cavalry thing, when if it was them, they had no problem coming forward saying, taking credit for it.
Right.
So clearly there's like something else going on here. So he wants her to come and investigate the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes talking about, you know, like other cities, you know, around the United States want to get on board by doing the same thing, like Atlanta, Denver, New Orleans, in regards to the police becoming like this anonymous group in a way. And, you know, she says like, well, you want this to succeed, because if it doesn't succeed, then you don't become president.
Right.
And then when he says the line about, well, you know, as the president, you know, I can pardon anybody, you know, anybody, even that owl that's locked up in a cage. And now on the surface, you know, you taking it as he's talking about her owl that's there, you know, in the apartment. Mm-hmm. But the way that is framed with her, and then if you looked on the back wall, you have the character of Night Owl on their Dr. Manhattan, and where her face is probably where her picture, you know, as Six right. Spectre is, but the way they frame it, they have her sitting there. And it's like, that's one of my favorite shots. It's just how they frame that.
It is a very nice shot. It looks very Andy Warhol.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a friend of theirs, because yeah, Andy Warhol knew the freaking Watchmen. But that's another story too.
Okay.
Yeah. So in regards to that whole, that line about he could free, you know, that owl that's in a cage, that's in a reference to, I guess, apparently Dan is locked up somewhere in probably a high security prison, because now, remember in the first episode, I talked about the ship that Crawford and Pirate Jenny is her name. I had to look it up. Pirate Jenny. I kept saying the other.
Yeah, we didn't remember her name.
Yeah, Pirate Jenny. So that ship that they was flying, that's a design of his Archie owl ship. And then those goggles that you saw with Angela had in episode 2, those two are from his design as well. So it's like, okay, what the hell happened with Dan? Because at the end of the movie, he's not in prison. Mm-hmm. So what the hell happened with Dan, and why is he locked away somewhere?
Yeah.
So that kind of raises like a lot of eyebrows and questions or whatnot. But any thoughts about your boy Joaquin?
I was already suspicious of him, but I feel like I started to become a bit more suspicious of him, where it's like, I understand why he hired her, but if she's as, okay, here's what I'm thinking. If he is bad, you know, if he is where it's like what if he's the one, because I'm trying not to give spoilers, but if he is someone who is behind some of the, I guess like the 7th Cavalry, right? If he's behind it, or if he's a part of it, wouldn't it be a bad idea to hire someone like her just in case? Because if she's as good as he thinks she is, or as he's saying she is, she's gonna find out. Do you want her to find out? And you know, and it's like, I just feel like everything is kind of like a question, you know, with this show. Things aren't always, you know, straightforward, black and white kind of thing. You know, I'm starting to see.
That is
kind of like, yeah, kind of like we talked about with the last episode, even with Judd, when I was like questioning him since what we found in the closet. In his closet. Literally, it's in his closet, you know? So, I don't know. Like, he just became more suspicious. But honestly, I have a feeling that I knew that this would not be the last time that we would see him. And most likely the next time we see him, perhaps, questions will be answered?
Maybe. But yeah, it is kind of interesting that this, I mean, even though he's the state senator for Oklahoma, but it seems like he has personal stake in this. And even though Jane Crawford did work for Senator King, but mm-hmm. they seem to be still very much friends and everything. So right. that's why he, in a way, has some personal stake in it and wants to see, you know, Judd's murder, you know, truly solved, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was just gonna go back and maybe I shouldn't. No, it's okay. Go ahead. I'll wait.
Okay. So, but I did, like, a lot of people who know of, like, what that line meant in regards to about freeing that owl from the cage. And everything, mm-hmm. it did kind of raise questions, like, okay, where exactly is Dan? Because you're seeing his technology throughout the show, but where is the man who created all this stuff?
Right.
So, and that's another reason why I hope that we do get a season 2, because maybe Dan will get freed. And,
yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see who they would get to play that character, I guess. But anyway, so we get where Lori, she goes, you know, to this briefing or whatnot. And it was funny kind of seeing the actor David Andrew show up here, because anytime I see him, I always think about Graveyard Shift, the movie Graveyard Shift, right? Mm-hmm. I always think of him in that. But he's like the FBI director, and they're kind of going over, you know, talking about the 7th Cavalry and everything like that. And the young guy, freaking Petey, that's doing the slideshow and everything, he gets chastised because he shows Rorschach's journal, because the 7th Cavalry idolizes Rorschach. But then there's like he has a page of Rorschach's journal up there. And he's like, what the hell is this? And everything's like, well, they idolize him. And, you know, just thought it'd be interesting for, you know, a psych pro. It's like, is this the 1980s? Mm-hmm. Like, no. Then it's like, get that shit off the screen. You know? It's like, damn. He's like, just do it all types of terrible. Right? And so he basically assigns the case to Lori, and about all of them going into Tulsa and everything. She's like, whoa. Like, look, I just go by myself. We don't need the whole, you know, the whole cavalry coming in and everything, because it could make things worse. And he's like, well, you can't go in alone. She's like, all right, fine. I'll take him. We'll talk about Petey. And the two of them decides to fly to Tulsa, mm-hmm. and everything. And while they're on the plane or whatnot, you know, he is... Well, I should ask you this. What do you think of this Petey character?
To be honest with you, I don't know what to think about him. It's like, and I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just like I was saying earlier, everyone seems to have there's some type of motive. He seems innocent enough. Like, mm-hmm. he seems innocent, like, where it's just like, he seems a little bit like wet behind the ears, like really excited to be there, wants to tell you everything. And the actor, Dustin Ingram, yeah. he actually plays in the show that I like called Good Trouble. And oh. it's like, it comes on Freeform, and he plays this jerk that works at this, it's kind of like an engineer type of place, and he bashes women. And I know he was in a lot of things, actually. He was in Paranormal Activity 3. He was in True Blood. Like, I don't know if you ever watched the show The Magicians. I know that he was in that show too. So it's funny to see him more clean cut, especially when he's in Good Trouble. He just looks a little scruffy, just a little bit, like a little nerdy and stuff. So it was kind of, even though he kind of has that little nerdy little thing going on, he seems more like assured of himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't really know what to think of him. Like, I don't know if he was hired to keep an eye on Lori, or, you know, I don't know.
But, like, he do mention to her in the episode, it was her that picked him to come along with her.
Well, was it though? I mean, I know that it was, but you know, it just seems like, I don't know. There's a way that they could have, I don't put anything past anyone. I feel like perhaps there was some kind of way that she picked him. Like, where she probably thinks that she picked him, but maybe there's a reason. I don't know. I feel kind of paranoid watching this show now. Because I don't know what to expect anymore, you know?
Well, I keep telling you, just wait till you actually finish the series. Or when you watch episode 8. So.
Okay, I mean, I'm already nervous about it.
Like I said, that episode is very much mind-blowing. But yeah, so, you know, as they're going in. But I think one of the reasons why she picked him is because he does have this type of way about him where he can assess a situation, even though it's somewhat in a ridiculous and over-the-top way, but he can assess things that probably most others wouldn't, especially with the whole thing that he has an infatuation with Watchmen. Because he know exactly who she is, and even how he brings it up to her on the plane, you know, anything. Because at first she gets defensive and everything. It's like, okay, what is it that you want me to sign? And it's like, I don't want you to sign anything. It's like, it basically like, yeah, I know who you are, but, and I am, you know, in awe of you, but at the same time, in a way, we are here to do a job. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, he knows that she was a former mask and everything, but
right.
And that she is famous, but he's not like beating it over the head like, oh, you know, like Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live back in the day when I forgot the character name, but he used to be like for a talk show, and he would always have his guests like, hey, you remember that time when you did this and you did you know, that type of thing. He's not like that.
Okay.
So I think, and then like the way he stands up to her, like she kind of gives him this look like, okay, I think I can trust you, you know, type of thing. So I do find like their relationship to be interesting. And then of course what happens towards the end of the episode with them, it's like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So they get to Tulsa and they find out, you know, that, well, because I failed to mention in the last episode where after the whole thing about Crawford being killed, Red Scare, he goes on this whole warpath or whatnot. He just want to bring them all down, you know, type of thing. I guess he feels like he's in charge, you know, at this point. So they find out where the mass cops are like taking the 7th Cavalry members that they're rounding up to this warehouse that they kind of do their investigations in or whatnot. And Lori and Petey, they go there. And I just like it how Lori just randomly walks up and as Red Scare and Pirate Jenny are taking this dude out of this truck and everything. She just walks up and they're like, who the hell are you? And she's like, I'm Agent Blake or whatnot. And like, I'm looking for a guy named Looking Glass. It's like, is he in there? So she goes in and, you know, she has to sit down with him. What'd you think about like the little interrogation scene between the two of them?
I thought that was funny. Didn't she, is that the scene where she, no, she doesn't use his face as a mirror. Yeah.
Yeah, she do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's the, yeah. Because I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, I know that was just something small, but it's like, if you are going to have a mirror on your face, it's like, that's what people are going to be doing. But I do like the character Lori. I like kind of what, you know, as the episode was going on, I like what she was bringing to the series. You know, it's like all these weird things are happening, and you know, sometimes, you know, in this world, I don't know if we kind of just forget or just accept it, or it's just like, oh, it's just happening. But you know, I like the fact that it's like she sees it for what it is, you know what I mean? And I just feel like she kind of makes, just, I mean, I was already asking questions, but it's like she makes us answer more questions, you know? And I already knew already that she was going to be like a problem. Well, not really a problem, but the dynamic for her and Angela would have been something to see. But obviously, I don't know. Like, I was kind of rooting for her, you know? Like, perhaps she can make things. Because at first when I saw her, it's kind of like, okay, why is she so against these people? Like people who are masked and people find them to be, like, you know, other people from the outside. Like what you mentioned, how there was a guy, he was saying how old, you know, that's a good guy. He was helping or whatever. He got arrested, you know, for doing that and everything. She just seems so disgusted and so against them and just kind of fed up and exhausted. So that's when I was like, okay, she must have some type of a background. So then that's when I did the research, which we spoke about. But then as it continued on, it's kind of like, not only that, it's like, I love the fact that with just going with the character, Lori, I feel like they're bringing more powerful women, you know, on the screen, which I'm always a fan of. I like the fact that they really didn't go into too much detail about her background, but that does make even someone like myself want to go watch the movie. Like, I've been wanting to, you know, watch the movie, but this really encouraged is people who have not seen the movie to go watch it, to find out more, you know, about her because of this introduction. Because I feel like she's just so blunt and straightforward, and but at the same time, she's a little bit vulnerable, you know. It's like she's just as tough as Angela, but that's what they both have in common, is that they are vulnerable women, and I would think that they have more in common than they think.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, that's what I was, you know, thinking, you know, like I love how she, you know, we're in this world, and you know, Lori is now, you know, she's just so against these masked, you know, individuals, and she wants to take them down, you know. I don't know. I was just more curious as to where it was going. And I knew by the end of this episode that I was still going to watch another episode, you know. So I just gave in at this point. I didn't say one more episode at this point.
Okay. But like, how did you think, well, what did you feel about the fact that, like, Lori, she already knew who Looking Glass, what his real name was, and told him just wanted to just take off this mask and everything like that. Like, I already know who you are. And the fact that she already know that Angela is Sister Knight too.
Right.
And everything is like, because going back to Lori's backstory anyway, she grew up in this.
Right.
So her whole life has been in this world of masks. So her mother was a famous mask. Then she grew up to be a mask and everything. She was in relationships with guys who were superheroes, you know, and wore masks and everything. So it's her whole life is revolved around it. So who better that knows this in and out than she would?
Exactly. So since she even knew that, like, I was intrigued. I was intrigued that she knew who they really, like, who these masked individuals, like, who they really are. And then on top of that, it's kind of like, okay, if she knows that, guarantee she knows Angela's, the secret that Angela discovered.
About Crawford?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, she finds out that he has a secret compartment, but because because Angela took the freaking Klan's robe, she don't know exactly what was in there.
True, but I know that she knows that there's something going on. So even though it's like, because usually with Angela, it's kind of like, okay, from what we saw the last, you know, three episodes or couple episodes, it's kind of like she, you know, she stays calm and she keeps her cool when she's lying, and you believe her. You know, like a good liar. She doesn't get razzled means something fun. So she doesn't get frazzled, like when she's lying and stuff like that, when she keeps on telling people, oh, well, I'm retired and stuff like that. And when we first, with Lori and Angela's interaction, you know, at the funeral, just seeing that to me was just like, oh, yeah, they're not going to get along. And I know that, you know, Lori's going to know all her secrets. I know it.
Yeah, but what's funny about that, when Lori comes to introduce herself to Angela and Cal and the family and everything, and how she kind of does the same thing that Joaquin does, like, well, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, and, you know, for us to get together and talk about it. She's like, well, I'm retired. And Lori just like, okay. You know, they're like, right. Yeah, okay. You know, whatnot. So it kind of goes back to what you said too. It's like, okay, well, it seems like everyone knows that she's not really retired.
Yeah.
So maybe that secret isn't as hidden as she think it is.
True, but you know who I think why it's not? Well, okay, in Senator Keene's case, I think that maybe Judd told him something. Or maybe it could have even been, you know, Judd's wife, Jane. But with Lori, I would expect Lori to know because of her background.
Yeah. And I would think that, like, a state senator would know because of the fact that, yeah, even though their identities are hidden, but somebody has to know who they really are. Because how would they get, you know, their benefits and all this, that, and the other? True. You know, how would they get all that stuff?
Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What did you think? Because I kind of touched on the funeral scene. What did you think about the funeral scene? Like, not just only just with between Angela and Lori.
Well, I mean, okay, so they get there and Angela's giving the eulogy or whatnot, and then this freaking Seventh Cav member come tunneling his way and he comes up and he basically is like, all right, Senator Joaquin, you race traitor, you know, you're gonna come with me or I'm gonna blow everybody to hell. And if anybody do anything to me, you know, my heart is attached to this thing, so if my heart stop beating, it's still gonna blow y'all up, you know, type of thing, right? And Lori shoots him because she had her ankle gun on her because she never goes nowhere without it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, Jed's already dead, but then his body gets blown to pieces.
That's so horrible.
But as far as how that scene, how that kind of plays out, I think in that moment too, it kind of showed that Lori and Angela did have more in common. But then later on, when they have that talk inside the crypt and everything, because like Lori knew that she wasn't retired, and it just proved, because if she's not retired, why the hell is she going down in tunnels with these doggone goggles on, you know, doing some investigating, right? So, and then when they have the talk, and Lori basically tells us, like, look, I bring down the good guys, right? And everything like this. And the way Angela's like, oh, like as if she's scared, but in a way, it's like, you should be scared because Angela knows everything pretty much there is to know about you, but you don't know anything about this woman. You don't know why she is so good at what she do, because she was born into this and everything. But at the same time, they basically, I would say they're like they're different sides of the same coin.
Right.
In a way. But I do like that whole, like, they're both fighting the same fight, but they're going about it in different ways. So I mean, Jean Smart, she's a really good actress too. And she just kind of, you could tell like she's having fun playing this role.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of interesting stuff that goes on at this scene, because also too, that press conference that Keene has after, you know, to kind of help continue push his mass cop, you know, agenda and everything, it kind of helps his campaign, in which further gives him, you know, points in regards to running for president because he wants to be the next president. Because, you know, I don't think we talked about it in the first couple episodes, but Robert Redford is the president.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in an alternate universe, I think I'd rather have Robert Redford than what the hell we got right now. But that's that's another story.
That is. But with, I guess with Keene, Senator Keene, it's just kind of like, okay, you're the grandson of the same, you know, of your grandpa or father, just the same Keene who passed, like, that act that banned, mm-hmm. you know, the mass vigilantes. And now you are for it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, after, you know, because their current president, Redford, how long was he president? 30 years?
Yeah, he became president basically after Nixon.
That's crazy. But with that, it's kind of like, okay, what is your motive? Like, I just keep on thinking, like, I just don't trust him.
It's because he's, it's the smile. And it's that southern charm that he has, right? Can't trust it.
I don't know. He just, I mean, maybe that's what it is. He doesn't seem trusted. Like, you can't trust him.
Can't trust it. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just something about him. Something around the eyes, maybe. I don't know. But, so after that, we get where, well, let's go to your favorite, good old Adrian, that's still in his seclusion or whatever, self-imposed exile, I guess. But just what do you think about, like, the random ridiculous stuff that he's doing?
I'm wondering if it really is that random. I'm wondering, is he on Earth? Is he not? You know, I have a feeling that he's not been on Earth because, you know, he is. I always feel like he's like the highlight for me, you know, seeing him, because he just seems super excited about whatever he's doing. The people around him, even if they're pretending and they're truly terrified, they seem like, hey, he's really great. He knows what he's doing and everything. And he's sending one of his, isn't he sending like his clone to like out in space? I don't even know. Is it in space? Is the person just going to be up in the sky? I don't know.
They don't show you what he's doing.
They don't. And so it's just like, it's kind of, you know, confusing, you know, with what's going on with him. But he seems, like I said, he seems truly excited. But I really just feel like, okay, he can't be on Earth then. Like, there's no way.
He's not on Earth. Where is he?
I don't know. Is he on Mars? I don't know. So it's just, when I saw that, it's just like, there's no way this man is on this planet, you know?
I mean, he has a manor. He has, I mean, there's bison around. There's tomato trees.
Okay, yeah. So it's either he's not on Earth or where he is, it's not real. It has to be some type of, I don't know. It's just not real. And I don't know how, because it's like, you already know, like, the rules in the show, it doesn't apply. So even with Adrian, you know, it just doesn't. And then there is a random man that's always telling him, you know, not to do stuff. Or at first I thought that was his neighbor, but I don't know anymore.
Yes, the game warden. That's basically watching over him anytime he's doing something that he shouldn't do.
Right.
He started taking shots at him.
But if that is the case, who put him there? And why did they put him there?
That's a good question.
But did you see, like, with one of his clones, that they were just frozen?
Yeah.
So that's why I said it's very weird, and it's just like, you can't, that's not on Earth. So
why can't it be on Earth?
There's no, because even though I know there's squid falling from the sky, you know, where Angela is, but where he is, it just seems very isolated. Like, there's no one around. So if it's not on Earth, it will have to be like he's either in prison, like trapped, you know, or maybe there's some kind of somebody created this land for him where he feels like he's probably free, but I don't think that he is. So, you know, it could be an experiment. I don't know. It's just, this is what I mean. There's just so much that I'm confused by, and I just love his, you know, Adrian's enthusiasm. Like, he is just so excited. Yeah. And honestly, he's so believable.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Irons is a great actor.
He is.
So, I always, like I say, anytime I see him, I think about the line that he says in Die Hard with a Vengeance about, in regards to like what you said when we was talking episode two, in regards to like how the show pulls you in, and when he says the line of like, hook, line, sinker. So, I don't know, just what you think about that. But yeah, the stuff with him, because it's so isolated away from the rest of the show anyway. And it's really just him and all these Mr. Phillips and Miss Crookshanks. And I'm like, where the hell did you come up with Crookshanks from? But whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of stuff. But it's funny too, because in this episode, when the game warden sends him the letter and everything, and he has Miss Crookshanks off to the typewriter, and he has her start typing, and he's saying to her what he wants her to type. It goes back to the previous episode where the SS commander was telling the typist to type up what he wanted her to type for the black soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, and it's like there's a weird connection to that. So I just thought that was like really like wow, like yeah. Little things like that connect the way they connect and everything. So, but I mean, we'll slowly get, you know, this whole thing unravel with him.
I'm really looking forward to that, because I need to know what's going on with him. What is he up to? But something I wanted to talk about,
okay.
Like, you know the ending of the episode. We kind of touched on it, but where Lori, I guess she finally feels probably more comfortable with Agent Petey.
Yeah.
And it feels so funny saying Petey, because I have a brother named Peter and we call him Petey, so it's, just, it's weird. But not only that, but okay.
I think I know what you mean.
What?
What she carried around in that briefcase?
Yeah, and it's just like, okay, well, why is it blue? Do I want to know? I think I know. Forget it. You know. So.
Well, I mean, okay, the first love of her life was Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah, I guess it's just I don't understand. Like, what is in that briefcase? So.
Well, I mean, it's a clone of his that junk.
That's horrible. But all right, not only that, but okay. Lori talking to this voicemail type of thing.
Yes.
Is that to Dr. Manhattan?
Yes.
Okay. So, do you think that he heard her messages? Does he hear them? Do you think that he does?
Well, doesn't she say, I don't think you hear these anyway? Or something like that?
Okay. Well, I think it's kind of, you know, that I feel like showed how, you know, vulnerable she is. You know, like she really just wants to talk to him, you know, and then I felt kind of bad. When Angela's car fell from the sky.
So maybe he did hear her.
Maybe he did, right? So it's just like, okay, is that his response to her joke?
Maybe.
See, so it's like, that's what I mean. I don't, just tell us! That's I don't know how you watch it this week.
Look, I watched Twin Peaks, so if I can watch that, I can watch anything. And because that show makes this look normal.
Can so. I tell you something? And usually when I tell people this, they want to kill me.
What?
I have never watched Twin Peaks.
That show is not for everybody.
And it's not on purpose, you know, because usually when I tell people, they're like, how? What? And that's what I thought, too, because I always hear mixed reviews on it. There are some people who I know who absolutely, they love it. And there's other people who, you know, they're just, it's whatever. It's not that I didn't ever want to see it, but I think obviously around the time, because we're like the same age, and not saying you watched it when you were a kid, but I didn't have an interest in it, you know? And then when I got older and stuff like that, it was kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to, because it was canceled pretty fast.
Yeah.
And I know that there's some, there was a season 3.
Yeah, the return.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I'm thinking about it because it's, there's not a crazy amount of episodes, but I just don't know. From what you know about me, this is a little bit off topic. Do you think that I would like the show?
Is okay, see, that's hard to say because that let's say that show, there is no gray area. You either like it or you don't like it. There is no gray area with that show. And if you do watch it and everything, I would say you, if you start, I would say watch the first season.
Okay.
And if you don't feel like you can continue, because the first season is only 9 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't feel like you can continue on with it after that, then don't. Because after the first season, it's where all the real, real weird stuff really happens. And yeah, so that's all I can really say.
All right.
Yeah. So I mean, have you? Oh, well, better question I should ask you. Have you ever watched any of David Lynch's movies? Period.
Let me see. Well, yes. I did like Mulholland, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Drive.
Okay.
But I didn't watch that as a kid.
Okay.
You know? But that's honestly the only one that comes to mind for me that I remember watching. And not on purpose. It's just kind of like, I don't know. It was just a movie that I watched. But I can't really think of.
Because he did Blue Velvet, Wild at Heart.
I didn't see Blue Velvet. I mean, I guess I did see Eraserhead. And I'm not the biggest fan of Eraserhead. So
okay, see, so fun. Yeah, so. Like I say, if you do decide to go down that rabbit hole, and that's why I sent you that GIF. I don't know if you saw it or not. When you was talking about you gonna sit out in your backyard and you know, with mimosa, you know, the drink and look at the trees behind your yard. Oh. And I sent you that GIF. And I said, if you see a red curtain, you know, you'll be in for a wild experience.
Okay.
That's from Twin Peaks. So
okay.
That's what I say. So if you do decide to watch it, and you decide to open that can of worms and go down that rabbit hole, if after the first season you like, I'm not too sure, then I would say just stop there, because after that you really are in store for some weird wild stuff.
So. But hey, weird question.
Okay.
This is kind of going a little bit off, I guess. Well, all right. In the closet, when we saw like the KKK outfit, at first when I saw it, right, I thought that, okay, there's no way that this is Judd's. You know, that's no way. And I know we talked about it, you know, the last episode that, oh, you know, it's a part of his heritage. Do you think that it could possibly be his wife's? But it was in his closet. And
that doesn't mean anything.
I know that's big, too. So it's just like, I don't know. I guess. Never mind. It's just a thought. Like, I remember...
No, I know where you're going with that. So, I know where you're going. And it's because, once again, part of family heritage. Who's to say? Yeah, because we just naturally assume that that is his. But what if it did belong to her? Mm-hmm. So, we don't know.
Yeah. And then, I'm sorry, going back to Lori and in the car almost killing her. Okay, what happened to Will?
Where's Will?
Yeah, where is he? So
I don't know. He got whisked away to some other faraway place, I guess.
And I just feel like, you know, between, like, okay, the first episode, you know, it hooked me in. The second episode, it really just had me intrigued and stuff like that. And as I said before, with the third episode, I was just like, all right, I'm going to stop fighting it. I'm just going to keep on watching the show until I can't watch it anymore, you know? Because I just had it on, just playing and going. And this was the, like, after this episode, episode three, I was like, I have to keep going at this point. There's no more questions. There's no more me trying to compromise with myself. Like, oh, just watch one more. No. I even tried with the second episode. I was only going to watch 30 minutes of it. Yeah, right. Okay. But point is, I just feel like this episode three, it so far, which is only on the third episode, it was a very powerful episode. Mm-hmm. You know, not only just an introduction of Lori, but, you know, the position between her and Angela, you know, these two are gonna basically be going at it. And then with Adrian, he's not on Earth. I don't care what anyone says. He's not on Earth. And if I know you've seen it, so I know you can't tell me, but it's just like I need to know. But with him, you know, you're learning more about him, and at the same background, you're still getting more, you know, background on, like, okay, the FBI, you know, you kind of talked about it a little bit in the beginning with the journal. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, what is then the connection between, okay, the cavalry, the 7th cavalry, and like the law, like is there a connection, is there not? Like, there's just more, again, once again, there's more questions. We're getting questions answered, but I still feel like there's more questions I have, and I feel like this, the world that they suck you into with this show, you just can't stop. You have to keep digging.
That's true. So with all that, I would say watch the movie.
Okay.
Then watch the last two episodes.
Oh my God, I'm nervous. But okay.
And in that order too. The movie first, then episode 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But I'm having a blast watching you try, you know, as you going through it and everything, and how is gripping you in. Because I mean, I was kind of like that, even though I already knew like the stuff from the movie and stuff, but just how, because you went into this completely blind, so now you need to know everything now. You need to know. So I'm actually getting a kick out of this. So
okay, well. Well, all right. I will definitely take your advice, and I appreciate you for even being a sport and not just telling me, like, you know, what's happening.
No, because that would defeat the purpose of, you know, watching the show and then coming on here and recapping and talking about it. That would kind of defeat the purpose. So
okay.
I would say that I'm somewhat like a certain character. I won't say what character it is, but after you watch it, you'll be like, yes, you're that character.
Okay.
Because of the fact that I know stuff which you haven't, that you don't know yet from the whole entire show and how it relates to the movie as well.
Okay.
And speaking of that, so what'd you think about Adrian sitting there in his freaking Ozymandias suit?
He just confuses me. Where it's like, where are you going? You know, what is happening? So I'm just excited to see what's to come with him.
Oh, God.
Like, it really is just such a packed show, but in a good way. Because there's been shows that I've watched in the past where I know this sounds weird, and I remember I told this to someone, they're like, what? No, I never feel that way. You ever watch a show and you get stressed out from the show? Like, I feel like this show, it makes me more curious. Of course, I'll feel for the characters, but not where it's like, I never want to watch the show again.
Yeah.
I'll tell you off air which shows I'm talking about, because just in case, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, or, you know, if someone like loves a show and I'm like, yeah, this show gave me a headache, you know? So, but I don't feel this way at all with this one. I just feel very much just intrigued and, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So before we actually end this, okay. So going back to that conversation where Lori was talking to Angela in regards to like, yeah, I went to the Crawfords and I checked out his closet and he has a secret compartment. And Angela is trying to play it like, oh, he do? Like, as if she don't know.
Right.
And when Lori says that, like, yeah, you know, when my dad died and everything, and the cops, they went and investigated his place, they found the secret compartment. So naturally, I check, you know, this is, and everything. So, which that goes back to the movie, and everything. So, but yeah, like I said, I just like how they throw those little Easter eggs in there, little nuggets and stuff like that, and how, once again, the show, even though it's created its own separate, like, storyline and everything, but it still reverts back to the source material, whether the comic or with the movie as well. So that's like I said, that's one of the biggest things I really like about how the show operates. And like you say, at the end, because we find out that Lori, for pretty much the whole episode, in a way, has been in that phone booth, even though it's like everything that we saw dealing with her in this episode is pretty much flashback in a way. Because, you know, the episode, it opens with her in the phone booth. And then we realize, like, oh, she's pretty much been in this thing the whole time on this phone and like that. And then when she finally comes out of it is where, you know, she's walking away. She's feeling a little bit, you know, kind of sad or whatnot. And then, like you said, here comes freaking Angela's car falling right down in front of her. And she feels like it's a sign from the good doctor, mm-hmm. you know, and everything. Like, that's him talking to her. So she has this big, you know, smile and laugh on her face or whatnot. And that's how the episode ends. And everything. But like you said, it is a very good episode, because here, like you said earlier, you have this strong female character that is presented. We already have a strong female character in Angela, but then you have another strong female character that comes along, and she's a no nonsense type of character as well. So yeah, I mean, pretty much you're the strongest character so far in this show are two women.
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing.
I agree.
Let's see, before we got, is there anything else that you want to discuss of the episode?
No, I think that we covered it.
Okay. So that's pretty much it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening to us go down this, continue down this, this road of Watchmen, if you will. And like I say, I'm just having a kick out of Xena trying to, you know, go through, I guess, all of the emotions of the show. In a way.
Yeah, it's a ride, but I love it though.
Yeah, and that's how shows and movies should be. It shouldn't stress you out and have you want to pull out your hair and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it. And we will be back for episode 4. And any last words, Zena?
Oh, just thank you guys for watching, being patient with me and my baffling. I appreciate it. I just feel like I mean, but it's a lot worse when I'm watching it live because I'm just screaming, you know? But in a good way. It's like, those are, like, I'm excited about what I'm watching.
No, it made me think about Regina Hall character from the scary movie. You know, the one when she's in the movie thing? She's yelling at the screen. She's sucking
my finger and screaming. But she's doing that and stuff. I don't know.
Which I always took, it's supposed to be like a ripoff of Jada Pinkett at the beginning of a scary movie, too.
Not like that. Like, they're so immature.
But yeah, so like I say, we'll be back for episode 4. Thank you guys for listening, and peace. I'm still welcome.